Blog Talk Radio.
Host Sheena Benjamin Wise, and I am here with Billy Eisenberg, my co-host. And tonight we are enjoying yet another beautiful evening in South Florida. It is getting hot, ladies and gentlemen, in South Florida, and I also know that it's going to get better. Dr. Billy, please introduce yourself to everybody.
All right. Hello, everybody. Good evening. This is Family Star Hour, and you, of course, you know, this is a talk show. It's not a advice show. We're talking about marriage, divorce, grief counseling, love, sex, children, alimony, the good stuff in life. But we give a lot of information, and it's not a advice show. It's a talk show. And, of course, you can find all the information on Facebook. Go like us and, all the information, Family Power Hour. And I'm your host, Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm a clinical psychologist and family therapist. And let's talk about the weather. So you know what? I saw on TV about the tornado in Arkansas.
It's not just in Arkansas. Yeah. So in Alabama, and now it's starting to come into Florida. So weather has been very fickle this year. First, we had some incredible winter out, and now we're having some tragic results happening in the middle of our country.
Can we do something, you know, because people know that the tornado and hurricane can we do something to prevent, because my heart with all this family that lost everything, I don't talk about the people just lost a family member, but it really was very devastated to see. And let's pray with all the family there. And of course, something else in the world, it's election in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder, what do you think about
how that's going to impact our world?
It's going to be very, very interesting what's going to happen in Iraq and the Middle East. And let's talk about Valerie Harper. You know, do you know the story about her, Sheena?
You were sharing with me earlier. Yeah, that's an amazing story. But please share with our callers.
Yeah, she went sue for $2 million because she didn't claim she said that she's sick with the cancer. And she said, no, I know there was cancer, but I thought it's over, and I thought it's a recovery. And during the filming the show, the cancer came back. So they've been sued because she can't continue to do so. So it's really, really, you know, you're the lawyer, Sheena. So what do you think for the legal aspect? She's right, she's going to win, or what?
Well, so to make sure I understand, so she was in remission, and she was doing her show, and now the cancer has come back. Mm-hmm. And so now she can no longer do the show. Well, it's an interesting dilemma to be in, because you sign a contract, you're supposed to perform and provide the specific performances that you say you're going to do. But when you have a situation that's beyond your control, you know, it's easier for you to communicate that situation to your benefit and
I don't think she was benefited by
prevail.
That's why I was so proud, you know, with the new health insurance, that you don't need to say to your insurance provider if you've been sick before. So this is because you don't know. It's something it's the same with her. And I have a very nice story to tell, and this is in England. A lady from England, I don't remember her name. She was very sick. She was rushed to the hospital, and she'd been told she needed to be in the emergency room for a couple of hours. And she said, all right, let me call my children. And she'd been told you can use
cannot.
You cannot use the cell phone. You need to use the phone. And she said, but all my contact is my phone. I need to charge the phone. So she put the charger, and two policemen came and showed her out from the emergency room because she'd been told we would be sued. So we started talking
she
about
stole the electricity, in other words.
So that's why Sheena told me she was very proud to be an American. Why, Sheena?
Well, because there are so many stories, of, especially in time of need. And I remember specifically when the bombing happened in Boston and people needed to use their cell phones and their cell phones were dying. People who lived in the area got their extension cords, put it out in the street so that people can get the charge they need to make the contact information or call the people that they needed. And I think that's part of our culture, and to extend that to other people. Now I see when I go to meetings that there's a charging station, and there's something that there's an acknowledgement that we need to charge our cell phones, and cell phones don't necessarily last all day. We use our laptops, we use our iPads, we use all these different devices that need to be plugged in, and that acknowledgement, that professional courtesy, or that here's my neighbor, love my neighbor courtesy, is a part of what I believe is the American culture.
USA. England, the Great Britain,
they missed the mark. Oh, you know what? And I won't say it's Great Britain. I would just say that particular hospital had overstepped their bounds, especially in, think of a hospital, you think, you know, they're there to serve.
So, And really, at the end of the story, after 2 days, she was worse, and she was rushed again to the hospital, and she refused to go to the same hospital. The hospital say she can call, we can apologize, but you know, it was strongest, didn't get power.
Yeah.
So let's, again, this is Family Power Hour, and you can call us, 347-945-7246, and the lady next to me,
it's Sheena Benjamin Wise. I'm a family law attorney. I practice in Pompano Beach, Florida. I serve all of Broward and Palm Beach County in areas of divorce, custody, child support, all that happy-go-lucky stuff that we do and sometimes have to do in the transitions of our lives. So you can reach me at 954-783-9737, or you can send me an email at fbwise@wiselaw.com.
And they can tweet.
They could tweet. They could tweet me at SBWiseLaw. And again, this show is about empowering our families, sharing information, sharing experiences, and talking about what is current for today and what is important to our lives tonight. And one story before we go.
Before you're going to go, because before I go, myself, I'm Dr. Billy Eisenman. Mm-hmm. I'm clinical psychologist and family therapist, and my office here in Boca. And you can reach me at 561-271-7106. You can send me an email, drbeisenberg@gmail.com. And you know, since I don't believe in long-term therapy, I guarantee you start to see results after the first session. So we have a very special guest tonight, but before this.
Right. One of the things that I think is incredible and it's important to acknowledge when children surprise us and blow us away, blow us out of our shoes and socks is when and we talk about Kwanzi Aaron, who's a young man who lives in New York City, who was accepted, 17-year-old high school student who was accepted to 8 Ivy League schools. What a triumph thing to do. And so, amazing young man, and as I just saw today that he's accepted to go to Yale University. But to be accepted to so many wonderful schools, I mean, his SAT score was 2250 out of a possible 2400. And we have to acknowledge our young people.
Absolutely.
And let them know that we see them and we acknowledge them and we're proud of them. And I think it's important, especially with our guest tonight and the topic that we're going to bring to our callers and our listeners today, how important we need to set up their environment and our lives for our children so that they can experience the most positive life that's available to them.
And it starts at home. It starts in your city, and it starts with your museum. That's why we have a special guest today, Dr. Denise Bell, and from the Children's Museum of Boca. And please introduce yourself.
Good evening. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. This is listening to the two of you is very exciting, and we certainly can jump in and add to that conversation that you're having about empowering children and recognizing them and helping them to be creative thinkers and doers and expressing themselves in very positive ways.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us about the museum. I mean, how long is the museum? What's
the name of the museum?
Yeah. our incorporated name is the Children's Museum, Inc., but we are better known as the Boca Raton Children's Museum. Right. This organization has been in operation in the city of Boca Raton since 1979. It was started by the Junior League, and so that gives us 35 years of continuous service in this community. And not only do we serve this community, but we get visitors, young visitors and families from all over the world. There are days when I walk in the museum and I'm hearing Japanese and Chinese and Hebrew and Spanish, and I mean just a conglomerate of languages. And because the Children's Museum is interactive, children don't have to speak the language in order to be involved and to do the projects and things that we have there.
What special projects do you have in the museum?
Well, the museum itself is housed in what we lovingly call Singing Pines. Singing Pines is, well, we like to boast and say it's the oldest wooden structure in Boca, but it's by a couple of months, the second oldest, but we're celebrating 100 years in that facility. It was a house that was owned by the Myrick family, donated to the city of Boca Raton. They moved it to this location, and then the Junior League incorporated it. And in the house itself, when you walk into the house, you're walking into what used to be the parlor. And so we have art projects and quilting projects. Kids can make puppets. We have a puppet stage where they can pretend. And, you know, we actually have a little curtain where their parents sit in front of the stage and the children put on little plays using puppets that they have. We have story time. Then you walk further in, and there's another room where children can dress up like pioneers, because part of our mission is to preserve the history of Boca Raton and of Florida. So you can dress up like a pioneer. You can sit down and have a little tea time. And, you know, the interesting thing is that it is not, when children see that, it's not sexist at all. The boys, one day I walked in and a little boy about 3 years old was doing a tea party with his mom.
Okay.
And he was pouring the tea. But that parlor is a place where parents can interact with their children. We have a piano there. We have an old-fashioned train set. You go a little further, and you're going into our grocery store. So they go in, and they have little teeny carts that a two-year-old can get behind, and they go shopping, and then they come up to the cash register, and then some child will pretend to be the cashier, and they pay for their in. And it's full of stuff. We have chicken and fish and bread and vegetables and fruits And then we have our staple items of canned goods and all those sorts of things. So, and then the next room is a bank. The next room is what we call our faces room, where we bring in the different cultures that have been important to helping Boca to be what it is today. We have some of the Seminole Indians. We have England and France and Spain and Brazil and a bunch of them, and then we have stories about those cultures, so children get a cultural experience there as well.
What's the average age that's coming to the museum?
Zero.
Two.
To 8 years old comes to the museum.
Yeah.
And when I say zero, people go, what are you talking about, zero? But we have prenatal yoga classes,
mm-hmm.
so the children are still in the womb,
wow.
and they're getting the benefit of our programs as well.
How many children are served with you by your program?
About 30,000 families a year.
Wow,
yeah, we also have programs for older children. There's a number of components to what we do. The Singing Pines goes up to about 8 years old, but we have educational programs that go to age 11 and 12.
When you're talking about education, can you be specific? What do you mean about it?
Well, one of the things that happens, as we've seen, you know, I'm an art educator, and as we've seen is that when there is a budget cut, it's usually something that's in the arts, because they, mm-hmm. you know, you need to focus on the main reading, write, as we say, the three R's, right?
Right.
So what we've done through our programming, we have a education director who is a former teacher, and she's looked at what it is that the schools are studying, and then we've created art-integrated programs to supplement them. So we are approved by Palm Beach County Schools. The programs actually align to the Sunshine State standards, and they range from what we call STEAM. Are you all familiar with that term, STEAM?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, STEM was science, technology, engineering, and math. And those people in those fields said, you know what, without art, we really wouldn't be creative. So now they put an A in it, so it's called STEAM.
Mm-hmm.
Science, technology, engineering,
wow.
And art and math. And so we have programs, we have a water cycle program, a Starstruck, which is a galaxy, Gaze at the Galaxy. We have Under Pressure, The Power of Air, and then we have a kite program. Now, all of these are teaching children basic skills. Their lesson plans are actually aligned to the same standards, but they're all art integrated and they're all hands-on, so they get to actually experience science and art and learn at the same time.
When you said program, I mean, you mm-hmm. connect with the school.
Mm-hmm.
You connect, I mean, if I'm a mother that wants to take my children, how do I know about this program? What is involved?
Well, we have the programs that we have that we call educational programs. Mm-hmm. They are specifically for schools and for after-school programs mm-hmm. or some facet that is education. The in-house programs that we have are primarily Mommy and Me programs.
Hmm.
So we advertise on our website, and we advertise to our Facebook family and in the newspapers. We use a lot of media to advertise. But we have the Mommy and Me programs. We have yoga for 6 months and older. We have now what's called Gentle Growers, which is a program that operates for all ages, and it operates on Wednesdays. And what it is children come in, and this is a way to help your children develop their social skills, interaction with other children, and it's always parent and child. We don't do any programs for younger children where the parents are not engaged and not involved with them.
So if somebody is looking for an activity and in the Boca Raton area, what's the website? What's the Facebook location so that they can get some of this information?
Our website is www.cmboca.org.
Mm-hmm. And you're on Facebook as
well? We're on Facebook as well.
All right.
And we have a link directly from our website to our Facebook page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. And you're catered next to the City Hall,
Yeah, we actually sit on city property. We lease the property from the city. We have three buildings on our property. One is a 100-year-old museum site. We have another one that was built in 1935, so they're both historic buildings. And then we have a third building that was just put into operation a little less than 3 years ago, and it is designed to look like the first house that was on the Intracoastal in Boca Raton. So we're still trying to maintain that historical perspective. We also have a new venture where we want to have an art studio. And so because we don't have a lot of space to grow, we wanted to get a bus, to create this bus and make it into an art studio. And with the help of the 2013 class of Leadership Boca, we purchased They raised the money. We purchased this bus from Florence Fuller.
Uh-huh.
And now
I know Florence Fuller.
Right. And now we have this bus, and we're going to wrap it and strip it and make it into an art studio for young people.
Awesome.
Young
I have a question
awesome.
About this, and I have a question about the museum, but we have a... We have someone online.
We do have it looks like somebody has a call. So if you have a question for us, just indicate through the line that you have a question so that we can put you through.
Okay.
No. So we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. Before we take a break, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the bus project
yes.
and
yes.
how that's being set up and
okay.
and how we can or your callers can support the Children's Museum.
Great.
And again, you can call us at 347-945-7246 and we will be right back after this commercial.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to RightStream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the RightStream Radio Network. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for RightStream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. RightStream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
And good evening, we back, Family Power Hour, and it's a weekly show, 7 to 8, and it's a talk show. You can reach us at 347-945-7246, and today we have Dr. Denise Bell from the Welcome Children Museum. And before we get to the break, we're talking about the bus, so talk about the bus.
Well, I presented to my board a vision statement that the things that I would like to see. Since we are in a small location, we can't really expand our footprint, but we certainly can expand our programs. And so this art bus was an idea that, you know, our staff and we talked about it, and we're really excited about it because we really didn't think it was going to happen this quickly. But through our partnership with Florence Fuller and Boca Leadership, the Chambers Leadership Class of 2013, Leadership Boca, we were able to get the bus. Now, the next step is that the bus has to be gutted, and we found someone who's willing to do that for us. They picked up the bus. He's going to adopt Mr. Alderman from Alderman Farms. He said, I would love to help you. He's going to gut the bus, and once he returns it, then we're working with Image 360, which is another Boca organization, and they're going to wrap it for us and make it really beautiful and exciting. And then inside will be an art studio.
Wow.
Where we'll have easels and art desk, and then we're going to put a nice little fence around it so it'll look like the name of the project is Travel with Your Imagination.
Hmm.
So they will climb up into the bus and create beautiful things.
All right.
Because that's our mission. You know, our mission at the Children's Museum is to stimulate creativity and to foster imagination through the arts.
I live in Boca and you live in Broward, but how many children museums we have in South Florida?
How many?
Children Museum we have in South Florida.
In South Florida, we have the Boynton Schoolhouse, and then in Davie, we have Young at Art, and then we have the Miami Children's Museum. Those are the
IMAX Theater downtown.
The science and museum, that's considered, even though adults go there, it's considered a children's museum.
Okay, that's named the Boca Museum Children's Serve. I mean,
it's needed.
We need it.
Absolutely.
Tell us about one story that you know. How long have you been with this museum?
2 years.
Oh, tell about yourself. I mean, I know you're Dr. Denise Bell, and I know all your degrees, but tell us about yourself. Tell us about you. Who you are.
I am an educator. I've been an educator since I was 14 years old. You know, working in a Head Start as a preschool associate, and then I got my degree, and so I worked in special ed. So I work with children with emotional needs and behavioral needs. And then, you know, I decided, well, I want to be an administrator. So I've been a principal of a special ed school as well as elementary school.
Wow.
And I ended up here in Florida and decided to become a professor. And so I was at Broward College for many years and also was the dean of the School of Education when they started it. But my love, my passion has always been for children. And also children that come from dire circumstances, children that have come from low-income families, children with special needs, children in foster care. And so we have created a We Care program where we raise money from sponsors so that we can allow children that have special needs and who can't afford to actually come to us and not pay. I mean, our fee is very low. It's $5 per person.
That's it. Per
walking entity, it's $5. But, you know, if you've got a family of four, mm-hmm. you can join us for $60 a year, but maybe you can't afford to even do that. So that's why we always reach out to our community and say, you know, can you help us? One of our really big events that's been going on long before I came, I think it's in its ninth or tenth year, is something called Breakfast with Santa,
mm-hmm.
where we feed 1,400 people on a Saturday.
Wow.
And all of the children get to come in and play with snow. We bring in tons of snow. Some children in South Florida have never seen snow. And then we allow them to take pictures with Santa. And it's a big family day. And about 400 kids come that could not afford to come. Children that are homeless, children that, as I said, in foster care, we don't charge them to come in, and they get to have a really special day.
You said something about children with special needs. Do you have a program with the special needs?
We're working on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that another project that we're really excited about, we have partnered with programs and schools that serve children with special needs, and our staff are trained so when they come in to work with them. But we recently got a grant from Dr. Pepper and the Snapple Foundation for something that's called the Imagination Playground.
Hmm.
The Miami Children's Museum has one, but this is a foam playground where it's just foam blocks, and children get to create their own playground. It creates a harmony. They work together, so they're developing their social needs. They're using their creativity because they're creating whatever is in their mind for their playground. And children with special needs, this particularly has been shown to work with them very well. So we're getting ready to launch that. We hope it's here by the middle of June. It's all paid for, and we're ready to go with that.
Well, Dr. Bell, what's the most important thing you need our listeners to know about the Children's Museum?
The most important thing I would say is that people really need to recognize the value of play.
Mm-hmm.
Developmental psychologists know that play is the way that children develop dendrites. Dendrites are the connections in our brain that help us to get from A to B. And children's museums are designed with that in mind. They are usually very learning, objective-oriented. It's grounded in pedagogy, so we know that play is very important. And I think that anybody who's ever visited the Children's Museum is always fascinated by what happens when children get connected to art and movement and literacy in a fun and safe environment, and that's what we create there. We respect childhood. We recognize that children are not the taza blank slate that some people think they are. They have their own personalities, their own thoughts, their own creativity, their own purpose in life. And so we see ourselves as a support to the parents and the school district in helping children to come into their own.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think these days with the new technology, children don't know how to play. You know, they're all on the iPad, on the internet. I think it's very important to try, you know, to learn experiment. So this is
I know I have a 19-month-old at home, and I'd be delighted to see her reaction to the grocery store and having her own cart, because she actually likes going to the grocery store, because I can put her in the cart and she just looks around and she's up on the pedestal,
right.
So she can be, you know, the queen that she thinks she is.
She is the queen.
But in an environment that's specially designed for children, it sounds like she would just have an amazing experience.
All are listening. Please take your children, your grandchildren, and go to the museum. Just $5. And just go and just have the experience to learn, to have the children have fun, something different. Take all of them for the TV. Just go and have fun together.
You're also having a fundraising event is currently, right?
We're always fundraising. We're a nonprofit.
Yes.
All right.
So what is it that you need from our callers?
Do you need money?
We need dollar signs. We need dollars.
We need support
from
the community.
I really wanted to mention, too, though, mm-hmm. that we had a group there the other week, and they were autistic children.
Yes.
And I heard one mother say as she saw her daughter, delving into the tactile, the rice, and we put rice in a little swimming pool thing, and they were in there. And I heard her say, oh, my gosh, I've never seen my daughter interact like this.
Wow.
You know? And so we get those kinds of stories all the time. But as a nonprofit, it's very difficult to run on $5.
Yeah.
You know, even we have 30,000 visitors, even if every one of them paid $5, which they don't, we still need to raise money. So we are in
Who supports you? I mean, the city supports you. Who supports you?
The city of Boca Raton has supported us. The city has a program where all nonprofits are supported. And we have gone to them on a number of occasions, last year particularly, and said, we need additional support because we're growing. You know, the programs are growing, but the programs don't support themselves, you know. So we've gone to the city in the past, and they've been very responsive. We have a request before them currently to partner with us to continue the museum. Historically, most children's museums have the support of their city.
Hmm.
Boynton, for instance, gets almost 48% of its budget from the city of Boynton Beach. So, yes, we've been asking, you know, partner with us, give us a percentage of the budget, and then we'll raise the rest through donors, through grants, through our fundraising activities and our programs, so that our budget is really small.
Yeah.
An analysis by the city itself showed that we are one of the most cost-effective programs, children's museums in the whole state.
Oh, right. I want to share you with something about Mayor Boca. I belong to Women for Excellence. I'm the VP of Women for Excellence, and I remember when she came to give a lecture. She's an amazing person.
Yes, she is.
And she's really, you know, she really cares about the people about the children. And I'm sure if she listened to the show right now. And, you know, I was so impressed when she was talking about the change in Boca and you know, that I thought I'm going to vote for her again. So maybe if she's listening, she's going to help, you know.
She's been very supportive of us, you know, verbally as well. So right now, I mean, they're looking at what they're going to do, and the city council will, you know, vote on whether or not they want to support us and how they want to support us.
Okay.
since I came on board, though, we have really been looking for that angel, that person out there who says, you know what, this, I want to give a legacy to the Children's Museum, and I'm going to be a major donor. And that's what we really need. But $5 and $10 helps.
Yeah.
We started a campaign just on Friday, just sending out to our listeners, to our database, saying, can you just donate $10 right now? And we're one-third of the way. I said I needed to raise $10,000 in the next week, and we are one-third of the way that way, just from dollar, from the tens and $20.
So for our listeners who are interested in helping, how would they be able to send you funds?
They can go to their website. We have a donate button right on the front page of the big that says donate. They can call in. We take credit cards over the phone. They can mail a check. Our address is 498 Crawford Boulevard, Boca Raton 33432, and that's the Boca Raton Children's Museum. So there are a number of ways that people can donate. We also take cash.
But it's not a lot, you know, $5, $10, and it's a lot of little people in Boca that can afford themselves to pay more for $5 or $10.
Yes.
But all our listeners, just go to the website. What's the website?
www.cmboca.org.
All right, so go.
Right,
and there's so many children who are who would benefit and who do benefit from these kinds of programs, and it is really our responsibility to make sure these kinds of programs are available to our young people and that they stay strong, and because it is our future that we are building with these children who are going to grasp the creativity that they need to create something like a laptop or a phone that we keep in our pockets. Back when our parents were young,
you're still young.
Having a computer in your pocket was not thought of, but today it's just normal.
Right.
And so, you know, this is where the seeds are planted. And so this is so important. So if you're listening and you're interested, please visit the website at Boca Raton Children's Museum, www.cmboca.org. And if you see a big, is it yellow, big button that says donate, press that button and give what you can. Know that it's going to benefit a young person out there, whether that child is still in utero or that child is playing in the grocery store or creating something marvelous in a brand new bus that has been provided to the program.
You running the show in the Boca, but did you visit in another children museum all the world? I mean, did you?
Oh, sure. I've been to several. I mean, we recently I went to the one in Chicago because I wanted to see what they've done. But the reason why we're unique, most children's museums now are become so big. They're in warehouses and they're huge. So people with very small children love coming to ours because it's a small space, and they don't have to watch that, you know, their 18-month-old is going to get run over by, you know, a 10-year-old who's zooming by to the next exhibit. So it's a safe, encapsulated place, and so they're very comfortable there. I saw a dad come yesterday. The baby was on his shoulder, you know, looks like about 6 or 7 months. And that's the other beauty, that we get so many dads coming with their children and playing with them. And that,
awesome.
And it's just, you know, and I want anybody to also understand the economic impact that children's museums have. Because when people come into Boca, they come to our museum, they stay there, and then what? They get hungry. So they go to a restaurant, and then there's a store next door. And so we have an economic impact, as do all children's museums. The Association of Children's Museums says that there are now over 400 of us around the world.
Wow.
Wow, that's a small number for it to be around the world.
That's around the world, exactly.
One of the big museums, I think I told you, Denise, that is in Israel, in the city in Holon. They have, the bigger children's museum all over the world. It was amazing. And when I was visiting your museum, you know, I think that's it's very cozy. It's very, I mean, the building, it's the building is very, very cozy. And I think it's very, very important.
And a lot of great stuff, you know. They say great things come in small packages, and that's us. There's a lot of wonderful things that happen in there, and all the stuff that's packed in inside. So we, you know, we have volunteers as well as staff. Our volunteers are trained to embrace children, and, you know, that's the first thing. They have to love children in order to work with us.
Yeah, you can't work with children. Don't love children. That's a number. But you can, I mean, you talk about the mother that she saw that the child was dealing with the rice,
mm-hmm,
and she was
mm-hmm.
so excited. Can you tell us another story about Fatima?
We had, we have a floor where the first floor of our two-story building we rented out for parties. For birthday parties, and we do thematic birthday parties. So, you know, you can have a superhero party or a princess party or, you know, whatever it is that you want. We our staff can create it for you.
And it costs more?
It costs.
It
costs. It's very low. You get the whole facility and everything, all the decorations, and all you have to do is bring your food and your children.
Wow.
And they also get to play in the museum. It's $375 for the party. But we had a child there last year who was a foster child who had never had a birthday party in her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that we create. We also have a special project through our We Care where we work with families that have been split apart. You know, Sheena knows about that. And they've lost their children, and now they're trying to, reunification,
mm-hmm.
family reunification. So we have a partnership with the Toby Center that they can come, and we teach the parent how to play with their child.
Oh, wow. That's very important.
Yes.
I don't think many people know that service is available.
And it's free. We don't charge anything at all for that family. Usually, they'll make a donation, but we don't charge because we believe in family preservation, and so they can come in and, you know, and learn how to play and interact in a positive way with their children.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's
we do a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we need to get this break. All right, so we'll be right back in a few minutes, and we'll wrap up this marvelous and very important conversation with Ms. Dr. Bell and the Boca Children's Museum.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Well, Billy, what is you're a Boca Raton resident, and well, share with everybody how you believe this is important to the community, this program.
Yeah, you know, that's my tutor. I have a grandchildren, but I have a grandson.
Oh, yes.
And I see what my children and my daughter taking to my grandson to yoga class, and the jamboree and the gym. And I think when I see my grandson every day for FaceTime, but I see how much it's important to him to touch, to feel. You know, I see him touching things, stuff, and smell and taste. It's so important. And as a means of profession, I know that children need to touch, to see, to learn, to experience. And that's what I said before. I think our society lost their ability just to play and to try, you know, just to try. So I think that it's a very important. I love Boca. I think the mayor do amazing. It's clean. It's great. I don't want to leave no place else. I love it. And when I go to abroad, I'm glad I'm coming back. But as a grandmother, I think it's very important that they we have the museum.
And as a therapist as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not dealing with the small children, but absolutely. But we have a caller here.
Yes.
So let's see who's on the line.
Hi, you're calling
Hi.
The family call out?
Yes,
hello?
Hi. This is
Hi.
Hi, this is Melissa Lane.
Hello,
I'm
Melissa.
Calling.
All right.
Hi.
So Melissa is this is Sheena and Dr. Billy and Dr. Denise Bell. And Melissa, she is from Broward Children's Center. And we're talking about the children today. So Melissa, introduce yourself and how we can help you.
Well, my name again is Melissa Lane. I represent Broward Children's Center. And first and foremost, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to chat with you briefly. Thank you for all you do, the representatives who are there. Forgive me, I didn't hear your names clearly, but we are very passionate about the arts, and museums are one of the most favorite day trips that our children love. Through preschool age to our young adults. So thank you all for what you do here in Boca. I am with Broward Children's Center. We are a private nonprofit located in Pompano Beach, Florida. And I was calling in to chat with you briefly and tell you all about an amazing event that we have going on this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, May 3rd and 4th. We are partnering with an incredible man named Hector Picard, who was a double-arm amputee. Hector was injured a few years ago on a work site and was forced to figure out what he was going to do with his life and how he was going to provide for his young family at the age of 24. After going through many different situations, he fell into his lifelong journey of motivational speaking. And one thing that he is incredibly passionate about is children's charities. He is spearheading this double Ironman triathlon event this Saturday and Sunday to raise awareness and funds for Broward Children's Center. He'll be starting out on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. in Fort Lauderdale Beach Park by Las Olas. He'll be swimming 5 miles in the ocean. Again,
wow.
He's a double-arm amputee. Swimming 5 miles in the ocean. He's going to be biking 200 miles starting at Pompano Beach, A1A and Atlantic Boulevard, all the way up to Palm Beach and back for 2 loops. And then he's going to be running 50 miles around the Pompano Beach Air Park Trail, ending this double Ironman triathlon at Broward Children's Center, our main center facility, which is 200 Southeast 19th Avenue in Pompano Beach. I invite all of you to come out. It's a free event to the public. Of course, we're asking for donations to Broward Children's Center in support of Hector's courageous journey in competing and completing this incredible double Ironman triathlon event. But come out, support him, volunteer, cheer him on, because this is an incredible, amazing initiative, and we are so honored to be working with Hector Picard and present this to our community.
All right. Wow,
it is amazing, ladies.
Yeah, you know, we're sitting three of us here, and we're in shock. I mean,
yeah.
How can we do it? You know,
our mouths are on the floor.
This gentleman is amazing. I mean, you can find more information regarding the triathlon if you visit our website, which is www.bcckids.org. And you can also find all of the information that I just mentioned, including Hector's incredible story and his journey, if you visit his website, which is www.don'tstopliving.org.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, all right.
But let me repeat about your website. It's www.bcckids.org. And Lisa, you told me that you have the event Saturday and Sunday. So they can find all the information on the website.
Yes.
All right. It's awesome. It's amazing. And we're talking about children. I mean, you're dealing with children. And Dr. Denise Bell with the museum, how it's important to encourage children to do something. It's amazing. Anything else we can help you, Lisa?
No, if you could just please help us spread the word, come out, like I said, come out and support, and maybe possibly we can all reconnect and figure out how we can all partner once again in support of the children throughout our communities.
Absolutely, and I send you in my email, I promise you we can connect, and anything we can help, it's going to be my pleasure. And behalf of Sheena and I, it's going to be great. So all the best and good luck. And again, can you repeat again your website?
Yes, Broward Children's Center's website for more information on who we are, what we do, and this incredible triathlon event is www.bcckids.org.
All
right. Thank you so much, and good luck. And please send over a photo picture, and we can post it on our Facebook.
We will. Thank you so much, Dr. Eisenberg, for this opportunity, and everyone who's there this evening. Thank you so much for allowing us to take a few minutes to promote this incredible event.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye. You know, this is going to be a very busy weekend because – Sorry.
No, absolutely. But that's why, you know, she was talking something and all of us was amazing. That's why we need to start for something small, for the Children's Museum, to let the children experience. And that's why the museum is so, so important. We have another caller.
Yes. Well, and before I introduce the caller, I was starting to say that it's a very busy weekend because our prior caller is talking about the Saturday and Sunday. And I have been asked and I'm just honored to be asked to speak at an event that is about women and empowering women and identifying the beauty of women. And so this weekend on the 4th, the Sunday the 4th at 11 a.m. starts an event called, it's a fifth annual event called Mon Papillon, right? And it's a hat event party. And I asked the organizer.
And you will be talking, and then what is your topic? It's a very important topic.
Yes, we're going to be talking about learning from our failures and really being empowered and strengthened by the events in our lives that we may call a failure, but is actually a triumph. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about that. So, hello, you're on the Family Power Hour.
Hi, my name is Maritza Mignon. Thank you, Sheena, for this wonderful introduction. I am the creator of Mon Papillon Events, and this Sunday we're having a huge event at Little Haiti Cultural Center, which is on Northeast 59th Street, 212 Northeast 59th Street. And the event is really to empower women. I'm a single mom. And I'm raising my son, my three-year-old son, and I'm dealing with many hats, with being a mom, a career mom, and also developing my business, which is my passion. And I realize I'm surrounded with a lot of women that have the same dream, but we give up because we don't believe that we can have it all. But I do believe we can have it all. And this hat show is to really empower these women to be elegant, to be classy, to be lovable, to be powerful, for them to know that anything is possible in life. They can have it all and be it all and actually be proud of themselves. So I do this every year. This is my fifth one. And all the information are on my website, which is www.monpapillonevents.com. I will spell it for you, which is M-O-N. MONPAPILLON events.com. And it's also on Facebook. We are expecting a lot of people. We have a very young entrepreneur who just launched her book, will be our first speaker. And I am very happy to have Sheena Benjamin Wise to be our second keynote speaker to lift everybody's spirit and bring them, make these women feel that, yes, they can have it all. Yes, everything is possible.
Yeah. And tell our listeners what Mon Papillon means.
Mon Papillon means my butterfly. Butterflies are very powerful. You go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. So you go to life transition. You go to learning experiences so you can really found and discover yourself and live the dream. Because once a butterfly comes off after being a caterpillar, it's really beautiful.
All right.
It's really a beautiful. Yes.
As a successful woman that's raising children, you can share with all your friends. That's what you're doing. It's amazing. But it's a time to take your children to the Boca Museum.
Let's power in the children. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. We're talking about a very busy week, and just I need to acknowledge this week it's IDF,
it's an Israeli Defense Force Memorial Day. It's going to be Sunday and Monday, and it's a very special day for all the family that lost the loved one and the war, the terrorism in Israel. And, you know, this is life. You have a Memorial Day, you have the children, you have the head party. This is life. Tell us about the May 6th.
May 6th is the first countywide Great Give, is what it's called. It's being sponsored by the Community Foundation of Palm Beach and Martin Counties, and also by the United Way. And over 300 nonprofits are part of this Great Give. And we each have our own little website and everything. You just go to greatgive.org, and you would look up the Children's Museum. And the interesting thing about this is only one day. It's from 12:01 till 11:59 on May 6th. So all that giving is going into this pot. And there's already $450,000 of bonus money in this pot.
Wow.
So anybody, what they're doing is that if you give a donation of greater than $10, it could be $11, and each organization that gets those is eligible to get some of this additional money. But it's a great opportunity. Everything, of course, is tax deductible. And it's greatgivepbc.org is the website, and then you would look for the Boca Raton Children's Museum or any other, you know, nonprofit that you want to donate to. But look for us first, since
absolutely,
we're the ones here.
Absolutely.
Since we're the ones been talking. But it has the potential to raise thousands of dollars for nonprofits, and this is the first time that we're doing it in Palm Beach County as a whole county.
And it was all
May 6th.
May 6th, don't forget, and it was all over one for you because so many websites, so many organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You can go tomorrow to our Facebook page, Family
mm-hmm.
Power. You can listen to the archive, and you have all the information to how to donate, to who donate. And it's very important, you know, and again, it's a small amount. If you can pay $5, $10,
mm-hmm.
something that you can feel you're part of the community, you know, and I think that most of the people can afford themselves to donate just even $5. It's very, very, very important. So anything else you want to add before we say thank you, Dr. Denise?
I want to just read this one statement from the Association of Children's Museums, that children's museums are helping to spread, to balance widespread cultural influences that compress childhood Children's museums, on the other hand, produce programs and exhibits that transcend age, they transcend IQ and experience, and they empower children to believe in themselves and set their own pace. Mm-hmm. So they're a very, very important facet in terms of child development, and we're always eager and ready to serve our community.
Yeah. And don't ask yourself, what the community doing to me? Ask yourself, what you can do for the community.
Yeah. Right.
And where did you get that from?
So, my name is Sheena Benjamin-Wise. I am a family law attorney and practicing in Pompano Beach. You can reach me at 954-783-9737. Or you can visit me at my website at www.wiselawoffice.com. Send me an email at sbwise@wiselawoffice.com, or you can tweet me at sbwiselaw.
And you are the wise lawyer.
The wisest
lawyer. You're the wisest and honest lawyer that I know. And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm clinical psychologist and family therapist, and you can reach me at 561-271-7106. My website is www.dreisenberg.com. And thank you so much.
This is great.
And we hope we can save the museum.
Save the Children's Museum.
Save the Children's Museum. And you're most welcome to come anytime that you can help. And good luck to you with the we want to see the photo picture with your head.
With my head.
Yes. Lady Sheena.
It's always a pleasure to be in the company of beautiful and smart women.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And we will be here next Wednesday, and the topic going to be how you can save to retirement. And again, go to our Facebook, Family Power Hour. Good night, be safe, and don't forget to donate money.
Yeah. The children need the money, so please, open your heart and your pocketbook and let it flow through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Look for you next week. Bye-bye.